You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Nubar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Second Half Sports Podcast, episode 59. And as you can hear, or maybe you can't hear, I'm riding solo again today. No Cameron. He's not here today. If you've listened to last week's episode, you know that Cameron is in Bend right now with his family. He's enjoying the sun. He's golfing. He's having a grand old time. But it's just Noob Skaloob here today. And we got a fun one. We really got a fun one today. I got a special guest here on the show. I had to reach out, and it took some time to sort of put together, but I'm super thrilled to be able to have this guest on. But we're here, episode 59. Man, it's always funny. Every time I do a solo episode, I feel like it's a little bit shorter because I don't have Cameron to banter with. But it always is kind of like hard hitting, I think, or at least me personally speaking. But 59 episodes in, crazy, absolutely crazy. I feel like it was just yesterday that we started, creeping up to 50, or that we even got to like 25, So episode 59 is here. Before I sort of dive into our little introduction that we do before we get into our main topic, a little bit of housekeeping. If you listened to last week's episode, Cameron and I mentioned that we have some upcoming trips going on. As I just said, Cameron's already on his trip, so it's just me this week. But when Cameron gets back next week, we'll have a regular scheduled episode, him and I. We're also looking at getting a special guest for that one, so potentially three of us on that episode next week. But the week after that, I'm going to be in California visiting some family, so it will most likely be a solo episode hosted by Cameron himself. And then when I get back from California, I believe that Cameron is going to be gone. So I think it's going to be another solo episode by me, or by myself, I guess. So if you're listening to the episodes and you're like, man, it seems like it's a solo episode and then it's something else, or, maybe we end up missing an episode and you're waiting for your content, we apologize ahead of time, with everything going on and just traveling and, trying to navigate our 9-to-5 regular day jobs and everything else that we got going on in our lives. Sometimes the podcast just has to take a back seat. And so we hope you understand, but for sure next week we'll be back together again, and then it'll be probably a solo episode from Cameron, a solo episode from me, and then we'll be back doing our regularly scheduled thing. Now, housekeeping aside, what have I been up to? Because obviously Cameron's not here. Last week was really good. We actually went down to, Portland. I saw Cameron, Eric, Jonah, all of our friends. We got to celebrate, our friend Claire's birthday. Shout out Claire, if you're listening. Good time, good people. We got some dinner. I unfortunately could not stay out too late because the next day, we had a housewarming party for, our new place that we moved into. And if you live in Oregon and Washington, which a lot of our listeners do, you know that the weather's been super odd. Last weekend was back up to mid-90s, so super scorching. And then today, at the time that I'm recording this, it's barely 70 degrees, overcast, and slightly rainy, right? But, taking the ups and taking the lows, I'm actually really enjoying this weather because, like I said, next week I'll be in California and I'm going to Fresno, California. And every single day that I'm there for that week, the low is 79 and then the high is 105. So you're going to wake up hot, you're going to go through the day burning, and then you're going to go to sleep boiling, and then rinse, repeat it all over again. But I really do appreciate the weather that we've had so far. And man, it's, we're getting to mid-August. I'm going to be sad when it transitions into fall. But this past weekend, after our sort of housewarming party the next day, I was pretty much home alone. So I spent the time to go and sort of navigate around the new city that I moved in and sort of sightsee a little bit. It's a small town, so there's, there's not really much to do. But we have this nice strip of road that follows one of the rivers that then leads into the Columbia. it's about 16 miles. And as you're driving through, there's so many cars parked on the side because, you know, there's just a bunch of gravel lots and like little scenic overlooks. But people were, you know, hiking down to the river and tubing and just hanging out in the water because it was so hot out. But it was really nice. I managed to pull over like into this gravel lot that nobody was there. And there was like this little sort of path that people had sort of worn down over the years. So I hiked all the way down, got to enjoy, you know, the sights and some of the water for a little bit and just spent some nice quality time by myself, you know. But did that, came home, and then suddenly realized that, you know, nobody else was still here. So borrowed my roommate's bike, biked around the city a little bit. And for people that, so I just moved to Kalama, Washington. For people that have never been to Kalama, Washington, it's all hills. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast once before, maybe last week or maybe the week prior. The streets are so steep at points that like the sidewalk just straight up turns into stairs because it just can't have a, you know, a gradual grade anymore. It has to be stairs to go up it. And biking and running up that is the absolute worst. So I haven't been really running too much. My last half marathon of the year that I've planned for so far, at least, is mid next month. So I got about like 30, 34 days, something like that. And I haven't really been running, and I'm trying to PR that, and I'm trying to get it under an hour 45. So to do that, I'm going to have to run 8 minute miles. I haven't been running, so this should be very interesting, but that's enough about me. As I said, it's a solo episode today, so I got a very special guest to come in and sort of talk with us. You know, these solo episodes tend to go a little bit quicker. They're a little bit more hard-hitting, or at least I like to think so. But this special guest, man, let me just tell you some of the thought process that I had when I was trying to book this guest, right? You know, last week we had our NFL talk, which if you haven't listened to it, please go listen to it. It's amazing. A lot of people gave us really good feedback. So thank you if you were one of those people. But that was talking about the real NFL, right? The real football experience. And in the past, especially when we covered football last season, you know, I love fantasy football. Cameron loves fantasy football. All of our friend groups, you know, we all play fantasy football. And I thought to myself, well, it's great that we're going to be talking about fantasy football and it's what the people want to hear. But what about the people that don't know fantasy football? Because I remember when I first started playing, it was freshman year of college and I knew absolutely nothing. I got into, you know, our league that's still running. We created it and it was the day of the draft. Like we just decided, hey, tonight is the day that we're drafting. I didn't even follow football at the time. And I got into it and I was so lost because it's a complicated game, especially when you're first starting out and you don't really have that sort of guidance and understanding. So I thought to myself, well, I think the only way and probably the best way that we're going to get people to understand fantasy football if they don't already know it is to get a professional. So I searched high and low and I actually found a assistant professor that, you know, plays a lot of fantasy football. He understands the intricacies of fantasy football. He's got a degree in this kind of stuff. And super nice guy. I reached out to him, you know, really funny, really good looking guy too. And I asked him if he'd be on the podcast and, you know, I sent him some clips and everything and he loved the podcast. He endorsed it heavily. And he agreed. So, you know, I thought with Cameron being gone, this is the perfect time to be able to give him the show and let him talk about what fantasy football is in a way that fosters, you know, learning and education. And I thought the best way to do that is through a lecture. So he's going to be giving you a little audio online lecture of what it means to play fantasy football and how to get into it and some of the intricacies. Now, keep in mind, I know you're already looking at the title of the episode and you're like, oh, I get it now. And you're piecing the puzzle together. This is an introductory course. It's a 101 course, right? So he's probably not going to be diving too deep into it, but we do have him slated to talk about his further courses, you know, going into the 200 and the 300 level, if that's what everybody wants. So if you listen to this episode and you really like what the guy's talking about, you know, let us know. Let us know and we'll have him back on. Like I said, he's a great, great guy, but that's enough of me. I'm done talking. Yeah, we're just going to pass it off to this guy. So Johnny Boy, why don't you introduce yourself to him and he seemed like a nice guy. Johnny Boy shaking his head over there in the corner. Johnny Boy, take us away. I'm done talking. Time for the professor to speak. All right, class. Everybody, settle down. Please settle down. Take your seats. Thank you for coming to class today. My name is Dr. Akparian, and I will be your professor for FTSY 101, Intro to Fantasy Football. If you're in this class right now and you suddenly realize that you shouldn't be in this class, stick around. You might learn something. You know, I wanted to preface this. I'm eternally grateful to have Mr. Nubar Akparian. We share the same last name, but there's totally no relation there. He allowed me to be a guest on this podcast today to talk about, you know, what fantasy football is, how you can kind of get into it, the little intricacies, and it's a very rudimentary, basic ground level course. So hopefully the takeaway is that after today's episode, after today's class, you'll be able to hop onto your fantasy football website, sign up, join a league with some of your friends, and be ready to play. I want you to know I'm a real subject matter expert here. You know, I have a master's degree in fantasy sports science, and that's totally not made up. And I'm just, you know, this is pro bono. I'm just looking to impart some of my wisdom upon all you fine students today. And as I said, in today's lesson, you're going to be learning truly just an overview of what fantasy football is. You're going to be learning about what the positions entail, you know, the scoring that goes along in your league, some various mid-season intricacies, and much more. So, you know, without further ado, Nubar did a great job of prefacing, you know, everything that's going to be leading into this. So please take out your notebooks, take out your pencils, silence your phone, reserve all your questions to the end of the class. I know Johnny Boy, he introduced me to this Johnny Boy character, and he's going to be fielding all your questions at the end of the class. So just hold it for him. FTSY 101, Introductory Course into Fantasy Football. Let's kick it off. So first things first, you have to understand and you have to ask the question, what truly is fantasy football? And I'm going to tell you, at the simplest level, fantasy football is a game where you draft real-life NFL players from a set group of positions, and then you face off against other league managers in your fantasy football leagues in various matchups. Week in and week out, you'll face different people. And essentially, the fantasy manager who drafts the most productive real-life players will earn the most fantasy points and ultimately win those weekly matchups. So that's kind of fantasy football in a nutshell. You really want the most productive players, and I cannot stress that enough. Real life success equals fantasy success about 99% of the time. There's a few little outliers and intricacies there, but that's not for today's course. So first things first, I know what you're going to be asking me. What are the scoring formats, and what are these projections that I keep seeing on my websites? Well, when it comes to the scoring and projections in fantasy football, the game truly turns into a game of math and probability. It's less so, hey, let's get the star-studded guy with the cool flashy name, or maybe I've seen him on a commercial, and more so, who's going to be the guy that scores me the most points, even if they're not the most flashy dude. And there are various scoring formats depending on how your league is essentially set up and how they want to play. Some of the formats that you may see are as follows. So please make sure that you're writing this down. You have your points per reception league, or a PPR league, as the experts call it. And this format is really starting to gain more and more popularity, and it's really starting to lean heavily on the new fantasy football player. This is the one that shows the most volatile point swings, the ones that you could see the greatest point totals, and is just kind of feels a lot more fun to play. So that's PPR. You also have your standardized scoring, and this is much less volatile than PPR, but also provides a different level of difficulty and evaluation when choosing players, because it is truly the standard way of scoring. Thirdly, you have half PPR, which, you know, is in its name. You get half the points per reception than you would in full PPR. And lastly, just to round out, the fourth one that's usually in the most common group of formats is your IDP leagues, or your individual defensive player leagues. Now, this league is where you draft a player, and, you know, it could be an individual or it could be a multitude of defensive players depending on how your league is set up, as opposed to drafting a overall team's defense like you would in the other aforementioned leagues. And this brings up a little bit of an intricacy there where you're playing all your regular offensive positions, but then you also have to sort of deep dive into who can be the guys that give you the most points on defense. So just a little bit more of a nuance. I will highly advise to not start off playing IDP leagues as it could be difficult to understand, but beyond scoring settings, you could also play with your various league sizes, both in terms of the number of league members and the amount of players that you can roster on your team at a given time. You have to understand that fantasy football is a game, and depending on how you want to play that game, fantasy football leagues can range from as little as 6 people to as many as 20 other league managers. So in today's lesson, we're just going to be keeping it very bare bones for you to understand. We're going to be doing a 10-man PPR league. And this is going to be following general PPR scoring. And so the general rule of thumb when it comes to scoring is that the various different positions all have somewhat different scoring parameters. So let's break down exactly what we're talking about here so it makes a little bit more sense. And the general PPR scoring for at least offensive positional players, including your quarterback, your wide receivers, your running backs, and your tight ends, goes as follows. To start off, all players will receive 0.04 points per every passing yard that they throw. Or, following just a simple conversion, you will attain 1 point for every 25 passing yards that a player throws. You will also earn 0.1 point per every rushing yard, or 1 point for every 10 rushing yards. You will earn 6 points for every rushing, throwing, receiving touchdown, and you will earn 2 points for every successful 2-point conversion. Now keep in mind, if a quarterback throws a 2-point conversion, they get 2 points, throwing touchdown. If a receiver catches a 2-point conversion, that's 2 points. If a running back runs in a 2-point conversion, 2 points. And regardless, right, a quarterback can run it in, a quarterback can even catch it, a wide receiver can run it in, a wide receiver can even throw it. It all is worth 2 points. So that's how you can kind of see the similarities between offensive positions and their scoring. Also keep in mind that because it is PPR scoring, every time a quarterback, a wide receiver, a running back, or a tight end were to catch a pass, they would attain 1 point for every caught pass. So for instance, if you have a wide receiver, let's say Tyreek Hill on the Miami Dolphins, and he catches 10 passes, but he gains 0 yards across all those 10 passes, Tyreek Hill still gains 10 points. Regardless of the yardage, he caught 10 passes. One caught pass is worth 1 point, or one reception is worth 1 point. So make sure you write that down, because that's some of the intricacies that you can see in your PPR leagues. That's truly what makes it pretty volatile. And lastly, for all these positional players, you have to keep in mind that negative plays in real life football also impact your fantasy scoring negatively. So for instance, a player will receive -2 points for each interception and fumble that occurs from them. So if a quarterback throws an interception, -2 points off his point total. If he fumbles, that's -2 points on his point total. So that is your positional offensive players, your quarterback, wide receiver, running back, and tight end. Now you also have your defense and kicker. They each have their own scoring parameters, which are different from the ones I just listed. For instance, defenses will gain 10 points automatically at the start of a matchup, right as they kick off. They will then lose points based on the amount of yards that they give up to opposing teams, and will be given points for each interception, sack, fumble recovery, defensive touchdown, or special teams touchdown that they can perform. And these positions are generally overlooked. Some people view defenses as a team that you quote-unquote stream. And when you stream a defense, means that you essentially would pick up and drop a defense based on their matchup to sort of maximize their ability to score points. You're kind of seeing this less and less now because there are certain teams like the Buffalo Bills defense that consistently put out great performances and earn a great number of points. So it truly is beneficial to be able to identify a defense that doesn't give up many yards and can still make plays on the opposing offensive team. Likewise, kickers will receive 1 point for every extra point converted, say after a touchdown. And they will also receive a sliding scale of points based on how far they kick a field goal if it is not an extra point. So if they are kicking a field goal from 25 yards out, they will receive less points than if they kicked a field goal from 45 yards out, so on and so forth. Now keep in mind, players that are on your bench and that are not designated as your starters for the week will not add to your point total for that week. Only the players that you deem as starters in your matchup will accrue points. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about what it looks like to draft players to your starters, to your bench, and move them around later on in the course. But it's important to keep that in mind when it comes to scoring formats, because that's generally how it works. Now, sometimes you might be in a league that will play, you know, just the highest projected player, and so you don't necessarily have to worry about who to put in from your bench and who to put out. But generally speaking, points on your bench do not add to the total of points scored that week. Lastly, when talking about all these points, comes the player projections. A player's projection determines the average number of points they should score in an upcoming week. This is based on their real-life usage, their opportunity, strength of matchup, weather, injuries, and many other factors. So simply put, when evaluating a player's overall probability to score more points compared to another in the same position, please use the equation skill plus opportunity equals success. And that will definitely be on the midterm. So please make sure to write that one down, highlight it, bold it, double underline, skill plus opportunity equals player success. So now you all have a nice grasp on what it means to have PPR scoring in your league. You have a nice grasp on what it means to understand a player's projection. You know the formula to determining what a player's projection can be and their opportunity for success. It all comes down to the next question. How do I draft a team? So when it comes to drafting a team, many seasoned fantasy football players will agree on this one thing. The draft is the most fun and exciting part of the entire fantasy season. However, they will also attest that the draft is usually a make it or break it scenario for your team. So please, please make sure to do your research prior to draft day. The default positions for most fantasy football leagues go as follows. You usually will employ one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, one flex, one kicker, and a team defense as your starters per week. Now, a flex play can usually be filled by your choice of either a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end. This is the most common format. Understand that there are also other formats, for instance, the super flex leagues, and this is where you could plug in a second quarterback in that flex spot. But generally speaking, the flex will be either one running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end. Also, just understand that your overall goal in the draft is to fill these positions with the players that you like the most, as well as building a bench of players whom you can start at a moment's notice. When you're dealing with injuries, when you're dealing with bye weeks, which we'll get into later on, or when you're dealing with outside circumstances that may arise during the actual NFL season, it's important to pick those players that not only you like, but can produce you a lot of points and fill a bench with the same amount of players that, you know, you enjoy seeing week in and week out on your team, but can also fill in at a moment's notice. So now that we've got that out of the way, you understand sort of what it takes to draft a team. It's time to draft, and you're asking yourself, how does that work? So a snake draft is by far the most common format in season-long fantasy leagues, and the name refers to the order in which the fantasy managers draft. So in a snake draft, picks 1 through 10 will make their choices, then the order is reversed in the following round, allowing for the order to become 10 to 1. The order then flips back and forth until the draft is completed. So an example of how this could look in real life is, let's say you attain the first pick in your fantasy league's draft. You make your selection at 1, and then the next time you get to pick again will be the 20th pick in round 2 if this is a 10-man league, or a 24th pick if it's a 12-man league. Just as there is many different variations of scoring, there are also many different formats when it comes to the fantasy football draft. Please make sure to talk to your other league mates as well as your league commissioner ahead of time to determine a legitimate draft order so that your fantasy football season can kick off correctly. And that's truly paramount into ensuring that everybody has a good time and that it provides the most fair sort of playing ground when it comes to fantasy football. So now let's say you're in a 10-man league, it's PPR, you've gone through your draft, you've finished out the snake order, and you have your full roster. Your full roster will look anywhere between 16 to usually 20 players, depending on the number of bench spots. Again, that is ultimately up to what you and your league mates and your league commissioner decide, however many bench spots you want to have. And once the draft officially ends, this signifies the start of your fantasy football season. So you've drafted your team. Now what? What comes after this? Once you've drafted your team, it's important to understand how exactly to utilize each player. To do this, you must designate players as either starters, assigning them to one of your 9 starting positions I mentioned earlier, or by relegating them to the bench. Now, it's important to monitor each player's start time. I cannot stress this point enough. Every single player that you have on your team will play at different start times depending on when they play in real life. For instance, if you've drafted Tom Brady to your team and Tom is playing at 10 a.m. on Sunday, then you have until kickoff 10 a.m. Sunday to maneuver him around your team, whether that be starting him or benching him. You will maneuver around players in this fashion for approximately 14 to 15 weeks as you work through the regular season. And if you end up earning a winning season or you rank in the top teams of your league, you could also earn the right to make it to the playoffs. The playoffs are generally a multi-week single elimination tournament to crown the fantasy football champion. One discussion that we will have in later FTSY courses and the ones that dive into more of the fantasy football lingo is what it truly means to become a fantasy football champion and what it truly means to become a SACO loser. Identifying what the SACO is very important before we move on into sort of the advanced terminology that these courses provide us. The SACO is the tournament where the 2 worst losers participate in at the end of the season. While everybody else is in the playoffs, the 2 worst losers will compete against each other in head-to-head matchups, and the loser of those 2 losers is the SACO champion. Usually at the beginning of the year, you will determine a prize pool for the winners. Usually the top 3 get paid out, and the SACO loser will have to do some sort of punishment, whether that be taking the SATs as a fully grown man or running the NFL combine when they are severely out of shape or wearing a dress and a sign that says they suck at fantasy football in a very densely populated urban area in front of millions and millions of people. The SACO loser is something that you do not want to be, and FTSY 102, 201, and 305 will dive into more about how you can avoid becoming the SACO loser. That being said, we're not going to be touching upon the SACO loser or the league winner as of now in this course, as this is just a fundamental bricklaying of what it means to play fantasy football. But we will be diving into understanding the mid-season adjustments that you may need to make as a team manager, also known as navigating bye weeks, running the waiver wire, and facilitating trades with your other league members. These 3 topics are the most relevant to pop up mid-fantasy football season. Starting with the team's individual bye weeks. So you have to understand that in the real NFL, starting around week 4, teams will begin to implement what are known as bye weeks. This means that certain teams will not play during certain weeks of the NFL season. This also means that the players that are on bye weeks in your fantasy football team will not accrue points for you during this time. If you have a fantasy football player that is currently on a bye week, they will gain 0 points and should be moved to your bench in favor of someone else that can score you points. I cannot stress this enough. I have seen over my many, many years and my many decades of playing fantasy football, the amount of people that do not transfer their players who are on bye weeks from their starting spots to their bench is astronomical. If you leave your starters in and they are on bye weeks, you will lose your matchup. Now, sometimes you don't have any other choice. And when you don't have that choice, you must go to the waiver wire where you can sort of patch up those holes that you have on your team due to either bye weeks, injuries, or any other reason why players might not be playing. Now, the waiver wire is where all the undrafted players reside. Fantasy managers can submit waiver claims to add a player from the waiver wire straight to their team, and the selection is usually based on priority. Now, this priority is calculated by the league standing, generally speaking. For example, if the person in first place and the person in 10th place both submit a waiver claim for the same player, the person in 10th place will win that claim because they are the lower placement of the 2, and thus they have the higher priority. Keep in mind, your waiver wire priority format might be different depending on the type of league you are playing in. Again, fantasy football is very fluid. It just depends on what you and your league mates and your league commissioner agree upon at the beginning of the season. Now, the waiver wire is a great place to find those up-and-coming players that could boom in coming weeks, great place to find those injury replacements for your team, or key backups to your starter players, or as we in the industry like to call them, handcuffs. We will be further diving into what it means to handcuff a player in the following courses. Now, lastly, and arguably the most fun to have, are the trades that happen in each fantasy football season. Trading with other fantasy managers can offer an invaluable way to overhaul your team and to plug any leaks that you might have that you can't necessarily fill in terms of scanning the waiver wire. Trades with other managers can be in a 1-to-1, a 2-to-1, or even a 3-to-1 player format if certain situations allow. And understand that to be good at trading, you must truly understand the person that you are trading with. There is a term in fantasy football called throwing out feelers, where you throw out a trade that you don't necessarily want to make or you don't necessarily think that the other person will make, but it's just to gauge their responsiveness to trading with you. Understand that the people that you're trading with are real people. If in real life they don't like you, chances are they're not going to trade with you. Also understand that not everybody wants to get absolutely fleeced when it comes to a trade. So don't send trade garbage to that other person on a consistent basis, hoping that one day they might take the bait and accidentally take your trade, thus leaving them in a vulnerable position and you in a better position. And to avoid these sort of pitfalls when it comes to trading, there are sort of safety nets to avoid these trade collusions between teams, and a league commissioner has the right to veto a trade. Now, there is also a trade deadline implemented each season to avoid trades within the last weeks leading up into playoffs. This is established by the website that you generally use, but also can be changed by your league manager as they deem fit, or as everybody else in the league has discussed. Maybe you have a certain time frame that you want to meet, or maybe you don't even want a trade deadline. Now, with this being said, I believe you truly have the fundamental knowledge to go out and to play fantasy football right now with some of your best friends, maybe some random strangers on the internet, however you want to get into it. Having attended this FTSY 101 course, you now have that baseline understanding of what it takes to be able to run a team and play through those 15 weeks of the regular fantasy football season. And now with that, we conclude our FTSY 101 Intro to Fantasy Football course. Evaluation sheets will be provided via Spotify and Apple ratings and their various review systems. And you can learn more about the upcoming FTSY class information by searching at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram. And as always, it's a busy time this year as fantasy managers are rushing home to prepare for their fantasy football seasons. So please, when leaving campus, make sure to listen to the instructions given out by Mr. Johnny Boy over there in the corner. And as always, please drive safe.
Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your second half sports news and updates.